This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump Friday announced that he had ordered two U.S. nuclear submarines to move closer to Russia, as he cited recent statements from the former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev. ABC's Perry Russum says this move comes as frustration mounts towards Vladimir Putin and his war in Ukraine.
Trump now giving Russia a deadline to end the war or be hit with sanctions, but admitting he's not sure if sanctions even bother Vladimir Putin. Trump says he moved the submarines just in case what he calls the foolish and inflammatory statements are more than that. The president saying words can often lead to unintended consequences.
The president also fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics in response to a subpar July jobs report. Independent economists criticized the decision. The president said the numbers were phony. The Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff says there is a plan to end the war between Israel and Hamas. He's in Tel Aviv, and the manhunt in Montana continues for the man suspected of killing four people in Anaconda Friday. This is ABC News. Authorities in Tennessee are searching for 28-year-old Austin Robert Drummond. He's charged with four counts of murder and one count of aggravated kidnapping after authorities say an infant was found unharmed in the car. Tennessee Bureau of Investigation Director David Roush said Friday,
law enforcement has put out a notification to those in that area to lock their doors and be alert.
At the same time, he said authorities do not believe the attack was random. The mayor of Cincinnati, Aftab Pureval, addressed what police there referred to as a violent attack downtown last weekend with, quote, racial dynamics involved.
Too many Cincinnatians don't feel safe. All of us, especially me, are clear-eyed and working urgently to fix that. We have to make the city safer right now.
Six people have been charged with felonious assault and aggravated rioting. Four have been arrested. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A former attorney for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives says proposed federal cuts could hinder the agency's ability to keep up with key regulations and affect public safety. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
One ATF responsibility is conducting inspections to ensure gun dealers sell firearms in accordance with federal law. Pam Hicks, a former chief counsel at the agency, says ATF has already struggled to meet inspection goals with not enough resources. The Trump administration's budget cuts would reduce regulatory enforcement by 40%, which Hicks says would only add more limitations to an underfunded agency.
If criminals are using those dealers to acquire guns, law enforcement is less likely to discover that before guns get used in crimes and are more likely to discover it after guns get used in crimes. That is obviously not good and very dangerous.
Hicks says firearms tracing is a critical ATF function to help solve firearms crimes and detect trafficking. According to the ATF, in 2022, more than 8,000 firearms were recovered and traced in Wisconsin. ATF is also required to inspect explosives licensees every 3 years, which Hicks says also drains resources from inspecting gun dealers. She says the entire ATF budget before cuts was less than $2 billion. Hicks argues the cuts would provide minimal cost savings and reduce public safety. She sees this as a contradiction to a Trump administration stated goal of making America safe again.
To be clear, I do think they genuinely are interested in doing things about violent crime. I take them at their word on that. But their budget submissions just don't align with that. And I'm not sure why.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some smoky, hazy sunshine, highs near 80 degrees. Mid-50s tonight under mostly clear skies. For Sunday, sunshine and a high near 80. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 81. Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high near 84.
Right now, it's 55.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content
from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. It's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thank you for joining us for this weekend's Best of the Todd Alba Show.
Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, here on location at Green Bay Preble High School in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Glad to be along with you. Welcome into hour number two of the program, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this 24th day of July, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Great to have you along with us. Our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the old world headquarters on State Street in downtown Madison. Zommers, is as hot and humid and sultry down there as it is up here.
It is humid, but it's not very hot. No, it's actually pretty cool, and I am very thankful for that.
Probably because I'm unloaded equipment. That's why I got a little sweaty. But no, it's great to have lots of breaking news. Of course, the news of the day across the state: Governor Tony Evers, Democrat, announced he will not seek a third term for gun. So, secondarily, in entertainment news, former professional wrestler Hulk Hogan passes away at the age of 71 of a cardiac arrest, and longtime legendary musician Chuck Maggioni also passing away today. I'll have more thoughts on those passings a little bit later on. In this hour, we'll try to sneak a What's Worse segment in as well. But right now here at the desk in the beautiful commons of Green Bay Preble High School, where it says Preble Pride on the wall of the Hornets, my high school as well, the Hornets. So a different high school, but the same mascot, the Hornets. Here at the desk is the Green Bay Education Association president, also a vocal music teacher. We're pleased to welcome Brent Bergstrom to the desk. Brent, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, you bet.
It's a pleasure. So do you teach in this school or where we're at in the district?
I have taught in this school, yeah. I've taught in a lot of schools. That's kind of the blessing and the curse of being in music. We get spread pretty thin and across many buildings.
Right. Well, I come from a whole family of educators. My sister, my brother-in-law, my mom, my dad, my stepmom, all my grandmother, all educators. I'm the only goofball that didn't go into it. But as I look back at my life, both my vocal and my, in particular, my high school teacher, instrumental figures in my life, and I think it's such a great opportunity to work with young people and help them mature into full-grown adults and help them reach their dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew early on that I wanted to be a music teacher because I had those similar role models growing up in the music departments.
Did you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and kind of what led you to a career in education?
Yeah, I'm actually a product of the Green Bay Area Public Schools. So I completed K-12 in Green Bay and then went to school at UW-Eau Claire for music and education.
That's great.
And worked in a few districts and then got back home.
We did our friend, ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, and I, we did a whole show over at UW-Eau Claire. Beautiful, beautiful campus.
Gorgeous.
Former Chancellor Jim Schmidt, great guy, had a lot of students on as well. I think it just reinforces the importance of our University of Wisconsin system. You know, you're a product of that, and look at the impact you're having on lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually go back, when I am back at UW-Eau Claire, it's nice to see the... It's not new anymore, but new Davies Center, because that was part of our fees as I was attending there. They were pulling money to try to build that new center, and it's just a beautiful.
It really is.
It was beautiful when I went there, and it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, that's where we did the show from, and you're absolutely right. Well, tell us a little bit about your role of president of the Green Bay Area Education Association. What does the group do, and what is on your agenda right now?
Yeah, you bet. So the Green Bay Education Association is our union for our staff within the Green Bay Area Public Schools for our teachers and our paraprofessional units. So that includes counselors, school social workers, nurses, all the way to special ed paraprofessionals, First Nations advocates. It's really a broad range of all areas within the buildings. So I am fortunate and love this work, but I get to help lead over 1,300 members in our organization. Wow. And support our 38 buildings across the district, supporting the staff to make sure that our kids are getting the best quality education that they can get.
Having grown up in Green Bay, this might sound like a goofy comment or question, but I think so many of us across the state, we think Green Bay, oh, it's all about the Packers, right? The Packers are great. Love the Packers. Just started training camp here. But I think this is a great reminder that Green Bay is also a vibrant community, and there's so much more than the Packers, and educators are helping educate the kids, the young people who live in this community.
Yeah, the Titletown District is great, and it has brought great things to our that we can enjoy, but our schools and the people that work in these buildings are fantastic, and they provide countless opportunities for our students who wouldn't have them otherwise, and it's so refreshing and exciting to see everything that's happening, including, I mean, you can see it in the commons, our community pulling together and passing a referendum when our state doesn't fund what's needed, and our kids deserve this. They deserve a beautiful auditorium. They deserve beautiful common space to go to school. And fortunately, our community has continued to support that through the years.
Talk to us a little bit about, as the head of the association here, what educators themselves, just as people and professionals, what are their biggest challenges right now in the classroom, in helping our kids? Because, again, I just think that we don't take enough time to look at the challenges every day that our educators face.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at what's going on across the country right now, it's a tough place to be for so many of us and so many of our students. And I think a lot of people forget that our educators are handling that day in and day out in the classroom and trying to manage what comes along with the social situations that are occurring, on top of being completely underfunded, support students with those things. So that's, again, why it's just so important to continue funding our public schools so that we are able to provide the services that our students need to get through some interesting and challenging times.
I think we think about the time in the classroom. That's certainly important. That's where most of the work gets done. But so many of our educators are called upon to be the advisor for the groups in school, to show up at sporting events and help with that, to be coaches. And, yeah, coaches might get a stipend. But a lot of these other things, educators are not being given extra money, but they do this because they have a passion for kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a show choir director for about 15 years. The pay for that is not actually pay. I did the math once, and then I just decided to stop doing that. So I did it because of the passion, and I did it because I wanted those students to have the experiences I had growing up in the schools. The money was a nice, you know, bonus for maybe some shopping. I don't know. But it definitely didn't fully fund even the programs I was working in. So...
Yeah, it's a lot to be desired. Brent Bergstrom is our guest. He is the president of the Green Bay Area Education Association and also a choral director here in the Green Bay Public School District. Talk a minute, if you could, please, about when you look at the kids and the growth of someone that you start and then to graduation, that has to be just particularly rewarding when a kid, have you had a student say, Mr. Bergstrom, I'm going into music. I want to do that. Talk about that.
Yeah, I have. And actually my high school choral director at Southwest High School, was one of those people to me that I was able to say, you know, you've inspired me enough that I want to do this. I've had the opportunity to work with kids, from elementary and then go over and direct them in high school show choir. So that's been really a cool opportunity. They showed a video this morning of a song that the district put out. Two of those students were my little babies at the elementary level, and they're up there singing, and it's great to see. But yeah, I've had a number of kids say, yeah, I'm going into music. And I was like, yes, because we need good people in our schools.
I think the arts is something that oftentimes gets overlooked and not valued enough. Certainly, you know, I have two godsons. They were in, you know, AP classes in high school and went to University of Wisconsin-Madison and are very successful now. But, you know, it's not all about the AP classes and science and math, although those are very important. But people who go into music, people who go into instrumental, people who go into arts, whether it's painting or sculpture or whatever, that also has a tremendous value to our society. And I think just like athletics, I mean, I did a little bit of sports, but I was more of a band and choir kid. And that camaraderie, learning how to, you know, a show choir piece, you have to get along with everybody, the timing, the personalities, that teaches you as much, in my opinion, about skills for life than math.
Yeah, that team aspect of sports absolutely carries over into the arts. And you know, I think of visual arts, there's a less team aspect, but there's obviously opportunities for that in visual arts too, to work as a team. But the skills that you learn within music classes, you're pulling art, music, phi ed, reading, math, all of the things come into music, which is why I love teaching it, because it was so easy to connect back to what the kids are doing at home, to connect what they're doing in their classrooms, and pull them in and find a passion for music.
We're here at the Wisconsin Public Education Network in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the beautiful Green Bay Preble High School. Brent, about 2 or 3 minutes left here. This summit, what have you gotten out of it and just professionally, and what do you hope to come from it as a group of educators in the state?
You know, I've been coming to the summit for a number of years, and it's always great to see new faces and see newly motivated people trying to take charge to get some momentum behind funding our public schools. And I think that's our biggest challenge right now, is getting the state legislators to look at the budget that they passed and realize how much it is not funding our public schools.
This program goes over 11 stations across the state. So as an educator, what do you think voters in the state, what do you think they're missing when it comes to voting for people, when it comes to legislative elections? What are they missing? What issue do you think would you like for them to think about when they go to vote for people that has a real impact on education, public education in the school?
You know, as an educator, I would say stay educated, stay informed, and stay engaged, and know which of your legislators aren't voting for the things that we need. Look at what the Senate and what they're voting for and passing, so that we are able to then put people in those seats who are going to support our nearly 90% of students who are in public schools.
Well, an average voter might say, well, you know, Mr. Bergstrom, what more, why is it always about money? What is the money going to do that you're not getting? If you had more money, what would happen?
Well, our school budget hasn't kept pace with inflation since, I believe, earlier today I heard, since 2009. Mm-hmm. So yes, it sounds like more money, but it's really just keeping up with inflation to pay general costs and staff and keep the lights on. And it's really warm in here today, but air's got to shut off at some point, because they got to save the money overnight so that we are able to pay for our staff. So really just that education and that staying engaged and sharing that education and that engagement across with your community.
I totally agree with you on that, because I think that people overlook the ongoing costs of what it costs to keep these facilities running, the benefits packages. That's the basis of it. And when the legislature underfunds that, that's why people say, why are there so many referendums? And that's why it's just the full funding isn't happening in Madison to a large degree, yes or no?
You think, you think of funding just to pay the bills for your house, it's a lot of money, right? Yeah. Or an apartment or anywhere. Think of about a building this size that serves nearly 2,000 kids. Right. I mean, that takes a lot of money.
Right, as it turns out. Beautiful building. Really, really gorgeous. Fantastic. Appreciate you're part of what makes Wisconsin great. Thanks for being a great educator. Brent Bergstrom from the Green Bay Area Education Association. Appreciate
you. You bet. Thank you.
My pleasure. Come on back. We'll have more on the other side. We are live on location of Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Don't go anywhere. More after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, at Green Bay Preble High School. Glad to have you along here on a sultry day, as they say, but the education talk is also very hot, very informative, and we're glad to continue on with another guest here at the table from the Commons in Green Bay Preble High School. Our guest is Laura McCoy. She is a member of the Green Bay School Board. Laura, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Love coming up here. My stepmom spent a lot of her time growing up here. She and my dad now live in Shawano. So Green Bay, as I said to Brent, our last guest, a lot of us that don't live here, the first thing you think of is the Packers. And yeah, that's great. But there's a vibrant community beyond the Packers in Green Bay.
I would completely agree with you on that. Our city is a thriving place. I mean, there's been a lot of things happening in just the last few years that we can be very, very proud of. And the schools are one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you been on the school board?
A little more than 8 years.
Nice. Yeah. What's the biggest change that you've seen from the time that you got on until now at the Green Bay School Board?
Well, when I came on the school board, I was a little naive about what the job would entail. I mean, it had all kinds of determination to be a good board member and to do well by my community. And school board races were kind of sleepy little affairs. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't much attention. That has completely changed. In recent years, they've become much more partisan, and a little bit more. Get a little bit more spotlight on you as you run. You know, people are paying a lot of attention to public education right now, rightfully so. We should be scrutinized, and I wish more people paid more attention. But a lot of things have changed, and of course, public education in general in this state is under a lot of stress right now, and has been for a number of years, and it's really starting to show up. And this summit that I'm attending today and taking part in has really shown that. It's really good to see all these people coming together and paying attention to how we can work together to maybe alleviate some of that stress and bring more. More education and knowledge to people, because taxpayers, you know, they should know about their schools. They should pay attention to where their tax money's going. It's important work, and I'm just really happy to be here today. I'm glad that Green Bay is hosting this.
Good. The same thing from a school board member perspective that we asked our last guest, Brent, as an educator. From a school board member perspective, what's your biggest challenge right now that you face in this political climate, but also just trying to make this work for the Green Bay area?
Funding. Mm-hmm. Every single school district in this state is under stress regarding funding. The latest budget is just completely inadequate to fund public education. And here in Green Bay, we are really going to feel that. It's just... The budget was such a disappointment, and it's just really hard to educate over 18,000 students when you can't rely on funding. So this summit is part of that. But the biggest thing right now, I'd like to be able to tell you that it's about curriculum, it's about teaching children, and we do that every day. You know, we have amazing staff, but if you don't have secure funding, if you don't have funding you can rely on and plan for, it puts a wet blanket over everything, and it's just really to navigate that.
We're about 3 minutes here before the end of the before you have to step away. I'm going to bring you back with Representative Clancy, but let's start beginning, because I get what you're saying, but I think a lot of people around the state who don't pay attention to these issues, what they hear, not just from you, but from a lot of people, when they say, well, all they want is more money. What are they doing with the money they got? And they look at the budget, and it's like, oh, there's $500 million or whatever it was more for public education. Hey, that was great. But begin the discussion, if you would, please, about what is it that is lacking when it comes to funding? What are the challenges that you're required to do as a school board that you're saying we're just not getting the funds we need or required from Madison?
Well, I would start with in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to go back that far, but it really matters.
It's important.
Right? So the revenue caps were put into place. And Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. So our levy was set really low. And we've been struggling with that basically ever since. So at some point around Act 10, we stopped having cost of living increases for the funding too. And once that happened, the span between what we were getting and what we needed just skyrocketed. And then, you know, 16 years of no increase in cost of living, it's just you know, made it impossible. So here in Green Bay, we have done a lot of hard work with consolidating schools. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. I mean, if you look in this room, just this room here, I am looking that way into the auditorium. Mm. That has all just been renovated last year.
Yeah, beautiful.
With that taxpayer money and referendum behind us, there's a new addition, and beyond that is a new football stadium, right? This is the level of commitment we have here in Green Bay. So we have beautiful facilities, but that's referendum. I mean, that's taxpayers saying yes to generations that are still not even born, right? Mm-hmm. that's wonderful, but we need that per pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
We're going to come back, talk more about this. You can stay at the table. We're going to add Representative Clancy, who is here as well from the legislature, and we'll have him join us at the table as well and talk more from the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit here at Green Bay Preble High School in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And also, Zomers, we'll try to sneak in a little bit of what's worse, a little bit of extra fun before we get out of here as well, and catch you all up on more of the news. Don't go anywhere. Farm update from Pam Yonke and her staff. News, weather, and sports is next. We'll come back for Green Bay after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump Friday announced that he had ordered two U.S. nuclear submarines to move closer to Russia, as he cited recent statements from the former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev. ABC's Perry Russum says this move comes as frustration mounts towards Vladimir Putin and his war in Ukraine.
Trump now giving Russia a deadline to end the war or be hit with sanctions, but admitting he's not sure if sanctions even bother Vladimir Putin. Trump says he moved the submarines just in case what he calls the foolish and inflammatory statements are more than that. The president saying words can often lead to unintended consequences.
The president also fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics in response to a subpar July jobs report. Independent economists criticized the decision. The president said the numbers were phony. The Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff says there is a plan to end the war between Israel and Hamas. He's in Tel Aviv, and the manhunt in Montana continues for the man suspected of killing four people in Anaconda Friday. This is ABC News.
It's the Brewers and the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the nation's capital for game two of their series against the Washington Nationals. Milwaukee won by a landslide last night, 16-9. Blake Perkins with two home runs. Jackson Churiel placed on IL with a hamstring injury. So Brandon Lockridge, acquired in that trade with the Padres, came up with two hits. William Contreras with a home run and five hits, a new career high. Manager Pat Murphy.
Our guys were locked in. You know, they did a nice job. We look at the output, you know, Contreras, Perkins, Vaughn, and Kelly gets a couple hits, and Lockridge gets a couple hits in his first game for us. And you can't forget Perks, two homers, and Monasterio getting four hits. Joey Ortiz, he had five quality at-bats. Yeah, I mean, that's contagious.
NFL, the Packers hold practice inside Lambeau Field tonight for Family Night with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pamela Anderson has been married five times. Once to Tommy Lee, once to Robbie Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, twice to a professional poker player, and only one time to some guy named Dan. She must love marriage. One of the few men she did not marry was former Superman actor Dean Cain. Last week, Cain said he and Anderson's relationship fizzled for one reason. I know what you're thinking. It's because she was too busy getting married to other men. But no. But Cain says that's not why. He says things didn't last because he was never into life in the fast lane, and Anderson was. That, along with the fact that she got married every other week, was probably a hindrance. Cain did have a lot of good things to say about Anderson. Pamela Anderson has revived her career and has gotten serious about the craft of acting. She received rave reviews for Showgirl and currently stars in The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. They were, quote, caught, end quote, on the set of The Tonight Show, making out. Yes, the two are dating, unless they've already married by the time of this airing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some smoky, hazy sunshine, highs near 80 degrees. Mid-50s tonight under mostly clear skies. For Sunday, sunshine and a high near 80. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 81. Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high near 84.
It's 57 at our studios.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will talk to Jimmy Cuska, Jane Matinere.
And me.
Oh, that's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll be here too.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The Tall Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We're live on location for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. We're at Green Bay Preble High School, beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. Zommers, well done. The iconic music of the now late, great Chuck Maggioni. I don't have my notes in front of me, Zommers. How old was he today when he passed away?
He was, I just saw it.
If you don't know, that's fine. I believe
84.
Well, yeah, I believe 84. We lost Chuck Maggioni today. Hulk Hogan passing away at age 71. And Governor Tony Evers says he's not running for a third term. So there you go. There's your news headlines today across the Civic Media. But you're probably too young, Zommers. But when I first started getting into radio way back in 87 in high school, we used to have a program called Music for Dining. And the thought was that people were still back in 87 sitting down together and having dinner. And you want dinner music in the background. And so I used to play a lot of Chuck Maggioni on my first shifts at WRCL in Richland Center. So well done on the Chuck Maggioni music. Well, let's get back to the reason that we brought us here for the show in Green Bay of Green Bay. For those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and X, whatever you want to call it, there it is, the Preble Pride, the Hornets logo in the back with the beautiful Commons area here. It is a product of the great support of voters in the Green Bay Area School District here. And joining us at the table, we have Laura McCoy. She is a member of the Green Bay School Board. And also joining us at the table, State Representative Ryan Clancy of the 19th Assembly District, Bayview River West area, more towards Milwaukee representative, but glad to have you up here in Green Bay.
It is fantastic to be here, and what an amazing school to be in.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a part of what makes Wisconsin great. We're going to get back to Representative Clancy in a minute. But, Laura, I wanted to follow up with you because it's another indicator of successes in public education in a place, you know, the last couple of elections, Brown County, the Valley, as they say up here, is tending to be a bit more purple. But historically, it's voted more red in the Republican column. But Green Bay voters have led the way in something called voucher transparency. First, what is it and why is this important?
In fall of 2023, our school board passed a resolution asking our city council to support us in putting the money that our district loses to voucher schools on the tax bill. Because as it was, you would see a certain amount that went to Green Bay Area Public Schools. Well, that's actually not really accurate. A chunk of that goes to voucher schools. It leaves our district, and then we turn around and levy locally to our taxpayers for that money. We really don't have any choice. We have to recoup that money in order to be able to run our school district. So we passed that resolution unanimously as a board, and we brought it before the city council, and there was some maneuvering going on, and it got tabled. So we were like, okay, now what? So we brought it back this last spring. We had a different city council. An election had happened. So, and with a lot of work from a lot of people, it passed. And I think we're the first school district in the first city in the state who has done that. Now, a hot topic today at this summit is other districts and cities wanting to do exactly that as well. Because if you're going to ask your taxpayers to constantly pony up more money to support their public schools, you should let them know what they're losing to voucher schools. And that money leaves you have no control over it. It goes to schools where they don't have the same amount of transparency. They don't have an elected school board. You know, that money, that's taxpayer money going, leaving your district. And so let's, we lost about $12.5 million last year.
Wow.
That's real money.
Yeah, real money.
Right? And that doesn't even include like a charter school that we give a lot of money to, like $1.1 million for a charter school here. It's a lot of money, and taxpayers ought to know that. And they ought to be able to see that on their tax bill. So the city council took that vote. It was tied, and the mayor broke that tie. And that information will be on our tax bill, our property tax bills for the city of Green Bay. Now, our district is more than just the city of Green Bay. There's a bunch of municipalities around it. But Green Bay, obviously, is by far the biggest entity in that. So they will have that on their tax bill this fall. And I'm interested to see the reaction from the citizens of our community when they see that number.
Mayor Gingrich has been on this show before. I know this is something, transparency is something that's important to his agenda as mayor in Green Bay. Just to put a fine point on it, because I think it ties into the discussion we were having prior to our step away for a news update, is that people, taxpayers, will say, well, why do they want more money? Because I'm giving this explains why, correct? Because by doing this, as you said, literally when they get their tax bill in the mail on a piece of paper, it will break down where their money went, which hopefully will help people understand, look, the money you're paying in taxes to the school, it ain't all going to the school system. That's why we have to come back and have another referendum sometimes for either ongoing costs or other needs, because you're paying the money, but it's not all going to what you pay for. Did I get that right, or correct me if I'm wrong?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of factors in it as to why we have to go to referendum constantly, but referendums are coming at a fast pace now. Mm-hmm. And it's all because we need to fill that gap where the state won't step up and fund public education the way it ought to. Mm-hmm. And budget after budget, they've been choosing not to do that. So our districts, the districts around the state are getting the problem is becoming so acute that those referendums are coming at a faster and faster rate. Now, we're going to have to go to referendum next year.
In Green Bay.
We just passed one last fall, right?
For ongoing costs, or?
This one will be an operational one, which is just money.
Right.
I mean, I don't know
exactly. Literally keep the lights on.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of fine work around facilities, but this next one is good, because we're currently operating under an operational referendum. But that was for a 10-year period, and it's going to fall off next year, and we need to go back to the voters again. And at some point, they're going to be like, wait a minute.
Right. What's going on?
Yeah.
Before we hand it off to Representative Clancy, very quickly, if you could, just to make sure that I'm clear and our listeners are clear, people are going to say, wait a minute, did she say that our tax money just gets given to somebody else beyond our public schools? It's the Republican-controlled legislature that allowed that to happen, correct?
Yes. Absolutely. The thing around vouchers, you know, has been growing steadily over a number of years now. Voucher schools, I mean, public schools didn't get a bump this year in funding.
$0.
Yeah, $0. Voucher schools did.
Right.
Yeah,
substantially. Let's bring State Representative Ryan Clancy of the 19th Assembly District into the discussion. Representative, just move the mic just a tad closer, if you could, to your mouth. There we go. Before we get into the policy of this, as we always do with a new guest, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and what led you to the legislature.
Thanks so much. Yeah, my name is Ryan Clancy. I'm from Milwaukee, born and raised there. And the reason that I'm in office right now is that I was a public school teacher in MPS for about 13 years off and on, both as a substitute and then a regular classroom teacher. And my last year, I had 44 students in one of my classes.
Wow.
And I like to think I was a fairly adept teacher to 25 students at a time. 44, I could not be the educator that I wanted to be and that my students deserved. And then when I was asked to run for office, I realized that I could have some impact outside of the classroom, too. So that's what launched me here.
How long have you been in the legislature? Forgive me.
Yeah, this is my second term. Moving into my third year now. Prior to that, I was a county supervisor in Milwaukee.
So let's pick it up on what Laura just said there, because I think this is so important. I really appreciate you bringing this topic up, because this is a great... I think too often we get caught, I'm as guilty as anybody, in just the bomb throwing. All these people are bad, or that side's bad. But once you break it down and explain it, this tells the whole story. And when people are getting their tax bills, and they, because I'm a big believer in transparency, and you say that, oh, wait a minute, my money that I was told going to my public schools is being taken away for vouchers / private schools. Representative, talk about this from a legislative perspective. You know, I was a Republican for 30 years, left the party in 2011, because, you know, you can say what you want about former Governor Tommy Thompson, but two-thirds funding, even that hasn't been maintained. For a party, wouldn't it be great if the legislature picked up two-thirds today?
Right, and I'm so appreciative for what's happening here in Green Bay. It's amazing to see you folks kind of leading the way on transparency, because the problems here in Green Bay are not just Green Bay's problems, right? We have every year, the most recent numbers are that over $800 million a year being siphoned out of our public schools and into these unaccountable, non-instrumentality charter schools and voucher schools. And most people don't know that. So that transparency is really key. And the other part about referendums, that is not Green Bay's problem either. We saw over 400 referendums, 400 just in the last 2 years. And these aren't to expand things. These aren't to add, you know, new opportunities for students. These are to keep the lights on. And they don't always pass. So in Milwaukee, where I'm from, our last referendum barely squeaked by. And I was terrified that it wouldn't. But I don't think that Milwaukee's going to stand for another referendum. And I am really scared about what that means. Because ultimately, education should not be funded on the backs of property taxes. I think we're in the top five in terms of like the property tax burden on folks. Property taxes are a terrible way to collect those monies. What we should be doing, and what I'm going to call for this fall, we'll have legislation, would stop paying for education with property entirely, and have that be general state aid, and raise those things. What that would do is actually cut everybody's property tax in more than half. From $4,200 on average to about $1,700, $1,600. And all we have to do is tax the rich and corporations.
We're talking with State Representative Ryan Clancy of the 19th Assembly District in the Milwaukee area, and also Laura McCoy. She is a member of the Green Bay School Board. We are live on location at Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Representative, I want to go back to on the legislative side. My former party likes to talk about, you know, I call it the doggy, but the DOGE, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency in D.C., and now I think Robin Voss, the speaker, came up with some goofy thing about the goat or something. It seems like if you went to the common sense would say, okay, we might not agree on anything else, Speaker Voss, but can we agree that we want transparency in our government? Why, let's join together and have a state bill that Governor Evers can sign before he leaves office that requires what's happening in Green Bay to be on every taxpayer's roll.
It is galling to me that anybody would vote no for a basic transparency measure. And it's very clear. I mean, this is the Republican agenda. It's transparency, austerity for public schools, and it's whatever, the unaccountable, private charters want to do. And there is a massive double standard there. And yeah, I mean, asking Republicans, it makes them a little bit nervous. And in fact, in an audit committee last term, we were able, when they were trying to just audit public schools, to slip in that they would also audit non-instrumentality charter schools. And we considered that a win when it's just good governance to apply the same standards to all schools of transparency, of basic accountability.
I can promise you that there was pushback here in Green Bay. And some of the people that showed up to push back were some of the people that were in the state legislature when in the 90s, and they showed up at our city council and took a stand against transparency on our tax bills.
Wow.
And it takes a lot to get this across the finish line. A lot of people had a hand on this. Like we had a unanimous school board. We had a superintendent support it. We had a city council that supported it, a mayor, and local electeds.
Yeah. Laura McCoy, a Green Bay School Board member, and State Representative Ryan Clancy. Appreciate you both. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Come on back. We'll wrap things up here live in Green Bay. Don't go anywhere across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKY-RIZI to learn more.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show, live on location at Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Glad to have you along. 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a weather update with Brittany Merlot. And our great sports reporter, Mr. Mike Clemens, is just down the road from where we are at right now at Lambeau Field for the start of Packers training camp. Clemens is going to be giving you the latest on the Packers, so stay tuned for that. And then coming up after that, another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show across the state of Wisconsin. Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 4 until 6. And then Pete Schwabo will be down the road the other way at our GBW studios here in Green Bay for another great Schwab is in Madison again, right?
Yes, Schwab is in Madison. Tonight, Dom is producing.
All right, Zama, Dom, and Schwabe from 6 until 8 tonight. All right, very good. Before we get out of here, another great member of a school board in the state of Wisconsin, this time from the Madison Area School Board, Nikki Vandermolen is here at the table. And Nikki, wanted to give you the opportunity because you came by and said hi, and just wanted to say welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And as it turns out, I know your dad from way back when I was at Platteville and Bo Ryan was coaching there, the arch nemesis rival, but in a good way, UW-Whitewater. And one of our producers, Parker, is a graduate of UW-Whitewater, the great Dave Vandermolen. And Bo and Dave used to go at it all the time on the court, but it ends up behind the scenes. They were good friends.
They were. And it was a good rivalry. It was. It was fun.
It really was. They were part of what makes Wisconsin great, both of them. But so are you. A couple minutes here. Give us just your take on this summit here, but also the challenges that you currently face in the Madison School Board.
Very simply, the summit here is excellent. It shows a lot of the issues that we're going through in public education, what we need to do, how we need to focus on accountability, especially on dealing with accountability regarding vouchers. Madison Metropolitan School District has a huge problem with having to fund voucher schools at a 90% reimbursement rate, while we get now 42%, but that's not some specific, it's some certain, so there's no guarantee that we get what we need.
Right.
Here, and the problem with that is that as someone who was a special ed kid, cerebral palsy and Asperger's syndrome, I had to sue. My parents had to sue to get me into public school. Those kids are kids like me who will not get a chance at an education. My parents could afford to fight. Mm-hmm. How many can't?
Well, I just think you're a great role model for kids, because too oftentimes I think that there are certain people in our school systems who are overlooked. Oh, you know, those people never, quote unquote, amount to anything. And we don't take time to realize that there's a real person there. And so we all, as Robin Roberts' mom said years ago, everybody's got something. Yes. And if we just take time to get to know someone, there's a brilliant person inside each individual.
Absolutely. And it just, you have to give people a chance. I was written off at 3 because I couldn't walk right, so I was kicked out of preschool. Mm-hmm. And then my parents were told educating me was a waste of time and a waste of money. How many kids are hearing that now? We have a duty and a responsibility to educate these kids, and that's what this summit shows.
And I think it's great that they have an advocate for you and the kids of the Madison School District, but I think how many kids across Wisconsin don't have that advocate?
And so many don't. Mm-hmm. So if I could speak and just explain to as many people as possible, this is your duty. These kids are all of our kids.
Mm-hmm. No, I look, as somebody who was born with a cleft palate, I went through speech a lot as a kid. Yeah. And like the people that knew me in fifth, sixth grade would have said, that kid is never going to end up on the radio. And because I had a great educator in Otis Scott, my fifth grade teacher, who basically, not forced, but said, you got to enter this speech contest. And I'm like, why would I ever do that? Ended up getting third place. And then at Ron Fruit and Richland Center, when I was still in high school, gave this kid with a speech impediment a chance on radio. And now here I am. So it takes people willing to give others a chance.
Absolutely. And I'm glad I can provide that opportunity, but we need more people to provide that and more people to know it.
About a minute left here. What do you hope to take away from this public education summit today? What have you learned so far here?
Learn a large amount on community schools and how to get that model. We are going to have to be creative with funding issues, because there's no guarantee that we will get what we need. So we're going to have to be creative. Also, I'm taking from here a sense of community that I didn't always have. Sometimes being an advocate is an incredibly lonely business, because not everyone is going to be happy with your decisions.
I think that's so well said. And I think the folks here, I've got to know them over the last couple of years through this show at Wisconsin Public Education Network. It is about creating community. And I love their slogan that public schools unite us.
Exactly. And that people have to realize, these are our kids. We're united as one. This is one neighborhood, one group of students that is large and all-encompassing. We need to be able to attract everyone, because the voucher schools are not the same.
They don't have to take all the kids.
No. And there's no way they would take someone like me.
Well, I think it's powerful coming from you, who had to break through, who had to have forced a seat at the table, and as you said, your parents as well, and Dave Animal had a cachet and a name, and boy, as someone who sat on the sidelines and broadcast those games, a look from Dave Animal is all it took.
They actually ran an article when he retired, the Janesville Gazette, that said Glare retires.
I believe it. I believe it. I got that glare a couple of times in post-game conferences when I asked a dumb question.
Yes.
Nikki VanderMolen, a member of the Madison School Board, thank you so much.
You're
a part of what makes Wisconsin great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you.
Bye.
Nikki VanderMolen, everybody. Many thanks to all of our guests here. Shally Pittman, Dan Schaefer, Bill McCoshin, Denise Gomer-Hutchinson, Brett Bergstrom, Laura McCoy, State Rep Ryan Clancy, and Nikki VanderMolen. Really great time. Many thanks to all the people at Green Bay Purple High School, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, the late, great Morris Andrews and his fantastic wife, Chris Andrews, the executive director of Wisconsin Public Education Network.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The July jobs report released Friday was underwhelming, and in the words of President Trump, the numbers were phony as he defended his decision to fire the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
The president claimed, without providing evidence, that the numbers were rigged to make him look bad. But many economists expressed alarm at the firing, worried that it is now President Trump who is trying to manipulate the numbers.
President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, is in Israel. He said there's a deal in place to end the war, but the humanitarian concerns continue in Gaza. The Hamas-controlled health ministry says several people died of malnutrition in the last 24 hours, including a child. The manhunt continues in Montana for Michael Brown. Authorities say he shot and killed four people in a bar Friday in Anaconda. No motive was revealed. And more than 700 wildfires in Canada are impacting air quality for tens of millions in the upper Midwest. This is ABC News. Glenn Maxwell.